Adam Pengelly joins us from the world of racing. Good morning, Adam.
Morning, TK. Morning, Jimmy.
Well, spectacular, and the old boy is back. I'm talking about Redzel.
He's back in a big way, isn't he, TK? His third successive Concord. We know he's won the last two Everest after he's won the Concord, so who's to say he can't do it again? I must admit, after his Brisbane winter campaign, I hadn't quite put the pen through him, but I thought it was real danger stations for Redzel. Now, I thought his best days might have clearly been behind him, but the way he raced on the weekend there, the way he jumped out of the gates and must be to settle on the pace suggests that he might be in for a big spring campaign again. Yes, the leaders were probably favoured there on the day there, close to the fence with the windy conditions, but he still got the job done. How good was Pierrata from back in the field? Mm. He was enormous. He could be in for a massive campaign this spring, and I bet you they're glad they delayed stud duties a little bit longer. From the others, you'd have to say Nature Strip was a big disappointment, wouldn't you? They tried to ride him with cover. He just does too many things wrong at the top level to be a real consistent top liner in these Group 1 and Group 2 races. So I think he probably put the pen through him for the Everest. And Sunlight put up a little bit lame. She was very disappointing on face value. I saw in the field report she was 1 out of 5 lame. So maybe a few excuses there.
Mate, TK and Adam, should they just let Nature Strip run?
Oh.
Just let him run. I mean, and then you're sort of targeting a thousand metre event.
That's right, you can't. But you can't get to the big money events, which are the 1,200.
Right.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Jimmy and TK. Like, if you just let him run, he's probably going to be an outstanding 1,000-metre horse, maybe 1,100-metre horse. We know he won the Galaxy in wet conditions at Rose Hill early this year, but apart from that, his options are really limited. Maybe a Lightning Stakes down the straight at Flemington or an Oakley Quay. They're the only Group 1s that we sort of have over 1,000 or 1,100 metres outside of the Galaxy.
Right.
TK's exactly right. If you want to really take on the big money, you need to be able to stretch that brilliance out to 1,200 metres. And at this stage, I just don't think he can do it. His racing manager's let him down constantly.
Yeah, and Chris will be disappointed because I think, you know, part of the trainer is to try and get the best out of the horse and try and make sure it can get that 1,200. And I think he thought the work was going pretty well, a work in progress, Adam, but, you know, that he was on the right track with the settling of Nature Strip.
Yeah, even in some of those trials, TK, he still looked a little bit keen, but I must think last trial he didn't look too bad settling in behind them, but there on the weekend, he was just far too keen, just reefing and tearing. And you need to conserve energy. You can't win these big races against some of these real top-line sprints if you don't do the majority of things right, and unfortunately he doesn't. So where he goes from here on in this campaign, I'm not too sure, but he's really at the crossroads now, isn't he?
Yeah, there was mixed opinions around Libertini, whether she ran well, made up ground on a day that was difficult to do so, but then others saying she didn't put her opponents away strongly enough. What was your take on it, Adam?
Yeah, I thought she was good, Jimmy. Visually, when I first watched the race, I thought, geez, you struggled to run down Villamai there, and it might have been just an average win. But once you go back and assess the race, look at the time, in hindsight, later in the day, look at the conditions, it was very much a leader-dominated day, and she ran very, very quick time, Libertini, there. She was almost a second quicker than a stablemate baller over the 1,200 metres on the weekend there. So I've given her a massive pick there. I know the margin was only narrow, but I think you've just got to say that the second horse just ran absolutely out of her skin. I found the post-race comments from both Anthony Cummings and Jerry Harvey really interesting, actually. I think Anthony, in the back of his mind, would still maybe like to try and get into the Everest. I think Jerry's, what did he say, it was hundreds to get for her to go towards the Everest this year. I think Jerry wants to look at the longevity aspect of her career. So we'll see what plays out in the next few weeks. I think they'll try and target a Group 1. I can't personally see her being snapped up for the Everest this year, but, she's a very, very talented horse, obviously.
Mm. Yeah, on the back of that, I think it'd be a real risk going towards the Everest now. Instead, of that series, she's just got that at her mercy. 10 sovereigns, so it looks like we're going to have an overseas runner in the Everest.
Yeah, Aidan O'Brien's put him in quarantine, TK, over there in Europe. So at this stage, it's not 100% nailed down that he'll travel to Australia, but he's taken those first steps and put him in quarantine. It looks like he'll probably be Coolmore's representative in the Everest at this stage, but that's very much contingent, according to Aidan, on getting dry ground at Randwick for Everest Day. He's going to have a travelling companion as well called Fairyland, who I'm led to believe is much better on softer ground. So it might even be a smoky to be in the race as well. And of course, we'll see yes, resuming the run for the Rose at Rose Hill this weekend. So Coolmore's keeping their options open, but at this stage it looks like that 10 sovereigns will probably be their representative in the Everest.
Mm, Samadow proved in the Challenger that the previous win was no fluke, Adam.
Yeah, he's proved me wrong again, Jimmy. I must admit, I thought that win in the Wing Stakes, I just thought I'll put it down to one of those exceptional circumstances, taking on some horses that have got bigger targets later in their campaign and need further ground. But geez, on the weekend, he won like far lap almost, didn't he?
Really?
I know he had conditions to suit, but he's The one thing I will say, guys, is that, you know, we've got to look at some of these weight for age races a lot differently now that Winston's on the scene. We've got a massive dearth of talent at this weight for age level, and some of these handicappers are going to step into the breach and win some of these races. And he's the perfect example. And Buren's spotted that gap in the market there. He's got the horse up and going early in his campaign, and he's getting the benefit.
Yeah, well, I think it's even going better than he would have thought. Yeah. Now, Holmesman, geez, it went well. As we were just talking about Lloyd Williams being so quiet. Holmesman, now the favourite for the Cox Plate.
Well, can you believe, TK, that Lloyd hasn't won a Cox Plate before?
No. What's he won? 6 Melbourne Cups.
Yeah, it's like, given how much success he has in the Spring Carnival each year, and I know Lloyd concentrates most of his artillery on the Melbourne Cup, but you just would have thought he would have won a Cox Plate at some stage along the way. And hearing Nick speak after the race, Nick Williams saying that they desperately want to win a Cox Plate, they think this might be the horse that can do it for them. So, yeah, he was very good at the value there on the weekend. Dominant win. He obviously improved as his campaign goes on. And if he just maintains that form, it's going to be awfully hard to beat, you think, in the Cox Plate.
Good on you, Adam.
Thanks, boys. You enjoy your day.